This is our Pastimes Podcast, presented by USA Baseball. Here is your host, Joe DiRienzo.
Hello and welcome to our Pastimes Podcast presented by USA Baseball. I'm your host, Joe DiRienzo. It is Thursday, June 2nd, coming up on today's show. 2016 marks the 10th season USA Baseball is operating out of the USA Baseball National Training Complex in Cary, North Carolina. I sat down with Executive Director Paul Seiler to talk about how Cary became the home of amateur baseball in the U.S. Plus, the 2016 Golden Spikes Award semifinalists have been announced, and voting is now open. First, let's see what's leading off. We'll start with a few organizational updates. 25 players have been recognized as semifinalists for the 39th annual Golden Spikes Award. Voting is now open on goldenspikesaward.com to determine the finalists for the top amateur baseball player in the country for 2016. 12 conferences are represented in the semifinals, with the SEC leading the way with 7 representatives. The ACC is in a close second with 6 semifinalists, while the rest of the conferences either have 1 or 2 players among the top 25. Louisville with Corey Ray and Brendan McKay, who's making his second straight GSA semifinal appearance, and Vanderbilt with Jordan Sheffield and Kyle Wright are the only schools on the list with multiple representatives. Other notables on the list include Southeastern Louisiana's Jameson Fisher, who leads the nation in both batting average and on-base percentage, UNC Wilmington's Nick Fite, who leads the nation in RBIs and total bases, and a trio of pitchers who find themselves in the top 4 in the nation in ERA, Kent State's Eric Lauer, Pepperdine's A.J. Puckett, and Washington's Troy Rawlings. The Golden Spikes Award finalists will be announced on Monday, June 13th by USA Baseball, and fan voting is open until Wednesday, June 8th. The remainder of the selection process is in the hands of a voting body made up of more than 200 individuals who closely follow the amateur game. The winner of the 2016 Golden Spikes Award will be announced on SportsCenter on Thursday, June 30th. Other organizational news, the staff and task force for the 2016 Tournament of Stars has been announced. Each TOS team, the Stars, Stripes, Free, Brave, Pride, and United, has a trio of coaches for the event. 9 of them are current collegiate coaches, 6 are current or former MLB coaches and scouts, and 3 are current high school coaches. These coaches, along with a 5-person task force and the coaching staff for the 2016-18U national team led by Glenn Cicchini, will be tasked with evaluating 108 of the nation's best age-eligible ballplayers, determining which 40 will move on to the 18U national team trials. We're going to take a quick break, but up next, I sat down with USA Baseball Executive Director Paul Seiler to talk about USA Baseball's 10th season at the National Training Complex. You're listening to our Pastimes Podcast. There's only one way to get the exclusive gear worn by the players on Team USA, and that's from the USA Baseball Shop. For official licensed USA Baseball gear, everything from performance apparel to hoodies, jackets, t-shirts, hats, and more, head over to usabaseballshop.com and be sure to follow USA Baseball Shop on Twitter and Instagram for exclusive deals and new merchandise. Joining me now on our Pastimes Podcast is the Executive Director of USA Baseball, Paul Seiler. And Paul, it is USA Baseball's 10th season at the National Training Complex here in Cary, North Carolina. So let's take it back to the beginning. How did USA Baseball end up here in Cary?
How much time do we have, Joe? Right? No, it is. It's a great story, and it's crazy to think we're celebrating 10 years here at the NTC in Cary, North Carolina. But organization, after the change in the Olympic program in 96, we left New Jersey, where our home had been since our inception. Mm-hmm. We had done our national team training at the time, which was really our Olympic team only, which historically had been college players, in Millington, Tennessee, which was a great home for us for many years. We had a change in our executive directorship, and the organization ended up moving to Tucson, Arizona, which really was a function of our new leadership and some history in professional baseball with the Cleveland Indians. Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. So we ended up in a spring training complex in Tucson, Colorado Rockies, January, February, March, USA Baseball the rest of the year. And it really looked like a perfect fit in terms of two baseball teams, organizations using the same facility. And it was. It was a great opportunity for us in terms of our growth and things that have been changing for us. But really, the longer we were there, it became apparent really pretty quickly that while good in January, February, March for spring training, Arizona is tough in the summer. And we're predominantly a Memorial Day to Labor Day on-field organization or programming in terms of our national teams. And I think we realized the whole opportunity there and the whole existence really didn't fit, as odd as that sounds. And we looked at other opportunities, and we did a national search and had a five-person committee that we had put together to help us identify maybe where is the right home for USA Baseball, not only from the point of view of baseball, but the business of baseball, which is really a large part of who we are and our identity. So we did a national search. There were five of us on that selection committee. We basically received 100 letters of interest. What are you looking for? And we did what's known as an RFP, a request for a proposal. And we sent that out, and we got 10 offers. Hey, move here.
Right.
And the five of us looked at those independently and said five were thanks but no thanks, and the other five were, hey, we got to get on airplanes and start doing site visits. And that was the beginning of the process of relocation to North Carolina. Our first visit was to Atlanta, major metropolitan area there, great airport service. Mm-hmm. We knew what we had in hand in Tucson, and now that was our kind of our baseline, if you would, and we were going from there. So Atlanta was our first stop, great opportunities there. Our next stop was West Palm as a part of Jupiter, where we still do a lot of programming. We looked at Kissimmee, Florida, which was the Astros spring training complex, still is, and it was about to undergo a major renovation. We looked here in the Carolinas, was a great stop. And we looked at Duke, and we looked at NC State, and we looked at UNC. But one of the things that was really missing here as a part of the relocation bid was where are we going to do our training? And if we were kind of moving around constantly to these college campuses, you know, what was that going to look like for us as an organization that was undergoing its own changes at the time? So, and then the next stop is we spent a couple of days with Cal Ripken in Aberdeen, Maryland. And he had just opened the single-A facility there. Ripken baseball was really kind of taking off as a part of Babe Ruth baseball at the 12 and under. And, you know, just some really heady stuff. This is a guy who had just left the game. You know, he was going into the Hall of Fame in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about 2001, 2002 when this process was going on. And really some exciting opportunities of being aligned with a brand like Cal Ripken.
Yeah.
And so we were evaluating these different opportunities, and we got a call from the organizers here. And they said, hey, we may have solved the field issue. And we said, okay, what's it look like? And said, well, can you come back, you know, tomorrow? It was really that kind of a process and that quick. And a couple of people in our committee jumped on the plane and came back here. And they said, okay, at it, for those who have been there, it's called Thomas Brooks Park, but it's the USA Baseball National Training Complex. And they said, hey, first phase of a two-phase project is completed. Second phase is coming online. There's $10 million pre-appropriated for building out that second phase of this project, and the plans call for softball fields and basketball and soccer and volleyball. What if we make those baseball fields? And our reply to the town of Cary and the organizers here was, well, what if we make those major league level fields?
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, if you look back at our national team, it was the next Mark Pryor, okay, in 2000, 2001, the next Mark Teixeira. Mm-hmm. And so if you build a facility that meets the standards of elite-level athletes, guys who are going to go on and most likely play professional baseball, a number of whom are going to play Major League Baseball. So if you build a facility that meets those standards, then it's going to serve every user beyond that as well. And to the town's credit, they said, yeah, we can do that. And we brought in a management team to help with the construction of the facility. And at the end of the day, that's the thing for me that's most telling as we enter our 10th year here. It's a beautiful facility. It's very aesthetically pleasing. It's an easy place to watch a game from a fan's point of view. But for the athletes who come in and the coaches who come in for the first time, play on the fields, and then walk off and tell you it's the best surface they've played on, that's the point.
Right,
that's huge. That's the business we're in is identifying, developing, and ultimately having players go out and compete for medals on behalf of our country. And to be able to put them on those types of surfaces, that type of an environment to prepare for that task at hand in any given year, in any given country, away from the United States typically, is just a benefit to us that is really hard to quantify. So when we looked at our opportunities, you know, the other part of it, and we talk about the business of sport, Joe, is, you know, people were uprooting their lives and their kids, and you're taking, you know, people and everything that is normal to them on a daily basis, and asking them, or at least giving them the opportunity to change that. Mm-hmm. And these are hard, and not hard, but, well, maybe hard, but they're heavy decisions, and there's a lot of weight to these kinds of decisions. So, but at the end of the day, is we ended up here and opened the training complex in 03 with the Tournament of Stars. That was the first event we had there. Probably the hottest day of the year since I've been here. It was, anybody who was there will tell you the same thing. Incredibly hot, but an incredibly successful opening of the venue. And then everything that's changed for us as an organization since we've been here. You know, we sit here now with a full-time staff of 25 and coordinators/interns to the tune of 27. And for this little organization that left Trenton, New Jersey in 1997, and, you know, now calls Cary, North Carolina, and the Triangle home in 2016, almost 20 years. You know, we're just we've just reached incredible heights, I think, as an organization, and what we do, who we impact, and what we represent, which is our country and our sport. And we all feel really blessed to be able to do this on a daily basis.
And one of the coolest things about being here and bringing the National Training Complex, all these incredible talented players to Cary, North Carolina, is you see years later, players like Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Eric Hosmer, Chris Archer, all of these guys have now played on the fields of the National Training Complex, and it's the same fields where new crops of talented players come out and play every year. So what's it like seeing the new groups of players and realizing, hey, there might be a next Eric Hosmer, a next Mike Trout type guy that's coming through these gates?
Here's the best part of that, Joe. Because I'm not, just me personally, I'm not big in projecting who is that guy going to be moving forward. But the thing that is so unique to these national team programs is you get to know people, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah, Eric Hosmer has become what he's become. But going through these processes of trying out and ultimately making a team that's going to go represent our country, you get to learn and know so much about who the person is beyond the baseball player, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I as much enjoy getting to know people and who they are and why they are, and to be able to talk to people and tell them, like, everything you see about Hosmer is real.
Yep.
Like, that's who he is, and he is a great guy. Like, Chris Archer, they don't come any better. Like, and that's the neat part of watching the players that come through here. I just had an email conversation with a guy in Chicago who happens to be a big Cubs fan, right? It's mm-hmm. nothing to do with baseball. We got into a conversation over email, and he's a big Cubs fan, you know, and I'm relaying to him about, again, my history, just because I was involved with these teams, with Arrieta, with Fowler, with David Ross. David Ross played for me when he was in high school on our 1994 junior team, okay? Talk about a guy who has had an incredible career. But the thing that I like the most about David Ross is he's a great person. So that's the part of – that's a byproduct of all of these athletes who come – I say all of these. Many of these athletes that come through here. And even guys that, you know – may not have had or have the major league careers that some other guys do, but they're still, like, you look back and you're like, wow, what a great dude. Matt Laporta, mm-hmm. as an example. I was just looking at a photo today when our 2008 Olympic team was here training with Canada before we went over to Beijing. And
right.
Laporta, in one of the exhibition games, I mean, hits a mammoth home run, right? And, you know, he's a high-level prospect at the time, and he's not in baseball anymore, just had his fourth child. And, like, you step back a little bit and you reflect and you smile about, like, who Matt Laporta is. Not Matt Laporta the baseball player, but Matt Laporta the person,
right.
which is everything about that guy. So that's one of the things that I almost use the word selfish, is just a neat, selfish byproduct of being involved with national teams. And I think it's unique in some level to team sports, but just not only the great players who come through here, but the great people who've come through here.
Right. You get to see not only the inside the lines incredible talent they have, but you also get the outside the lines who this person really is, experience.
No, you're exactly right. And ultimately, and this is harder said than done, but ultimately, if you're picking the right guys, and I almost say that with air quotes around it, right? Mm-hmm. So not only great talent, but the right people, our opportunity for success rises, I think, proportionately. So, no, you're exactly right.
Yeah. And remembering the experiences you had meeting and then getting to know those players is obviously a great part of these last 10 years. Is there any singular moment from the past 10 years in Cary, North Carolina, at the National Training Complex that stands out to you as sort of a great moment for USA Baseball?
You know, beyond the players and those individual relationships that we all end up having on different levels, I'll tell you, one of the things I'm proudest of, you know, and yeah, we can point back and talk about the Olympic team coming through here, you know, on its way to Beijing and opening the facility, celebrating 10 years. And those are seminal moments. But when Cuba came in here for the first time in 17 years, really, mm-hmm. and we were able to rekindle and renew that home and away series that we have with the Cubans now. We went there for the first time in 12, but in 13, they came to the States and we were able to have, you know, the Cuban national team with our collegiate national team out at the NTC. For me, you know, we talk about it, and sometimes it sounds cliche, and it's not meant to, but, you know, sports really is a bridge across a lot of
for sure
barriers or chasms or whatever word, or gaps, you know, whatever word you want to use. And there's just something really unique about our history with Cuba, both obviously politically, but on the baseball field, mm-hmm. you know, we gauge ourselves against the Cubans and the Cubans gauge themselves against us, with no disrespect to the rest of the world, but that's the nature of who we are in the sport of baseball. So to have the Cuban team here in 13, again in 15, they'll be back in 17, and to be able to reestablish that home and away series with the Cubans is something that, you know, gives me a lot of pride, and I was proud that we were able to have them play, we not only in 13, but again in 15, play and showcase, you know, that talent right here in this community that's been so supportive of us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that kind of stands out to me as a pretty key moment in our 10-year history.
Yeah, an extra special one for me was last year watching the collegiate team actually pull off a no-hitter
Incredible.
Against Cuba at the National Training Complex. That, for me, will be a memory I'll never forget in all of baseball.
The Cubans, too.
Yeah, them too. Not necessarily in the happiest of lights. Like
no, no, not exactly. But this is what's good about sport, and it's about competing. You know, people on the outside may look and say, you know, do you guys hate the Cubans? And no, we don't hate the Cubans. We respect the Cubans, and
right.
and the Cubans respect us.
Which is why the games matter so much.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's a really, really cool thing to be a part of. It's very humbling, actually.
Yeah. Well, 2016 marks the 10th season USA Baseball be at the National Training Complex in Cary. Hopefully more and more years to come with more of those memories and great players coming here. Paul, thanks for taking the time today.
It's great to be here.
We'll close out today's show right after this. Panini America is proud to be the exclusive trading card manufacturer of USA Baseball. Before the game's biggest superstars reach the show, they don the stars and stripes, and Panini America is there to chronicle that monumental step in a player's career with the most collectible trading cards, autographs, and memorabilia in the industry, all officially licensed by USA Baseball. Get yours today at your local trading card store or online at iCollectPanini.com. That's iCollectPanini.com. And that will do it for today's episode of our Pastimes Podcast. Good news, our Pastimes Podcast is no longer on a two-week cycle. With the USA Baseball calendar heating up, we will now have weekly episodes for you to enjoy, starting with next week's MLB Draft Preview. Thank you all very much for listening. For Paul Seiler, I'm Joe DiRienzo. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to USA Baseball's presentation of our Pastimes Podcast. For upcoming episodes and the complete archive of our Pastimes Podcast, find us on iTunes or head to usabaseball.com.